I'm gonna do my song now.
Okay, yay!
What's up, everybody? You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. I am your host, Maggie Dawn. I have with me in the booth, Cardi. He is the man making it all happen, the magic behind the glass. Can't do it without him. And I can't do it without each and every one of you, because here at Civic Media, it is all about real news and great conversation. And we have more breaking news this afternoon related to the assassination of the United Healthcare CEO last week in Midtown Manhattan at 6:45 in the morning. Again, police have arrested and now are seeking extradition of suspect Luigi Mangione, a 26-year-old Maryland native. And the question that I'm going to ask all of us today, I think, is the one that really needs asking, because this is the young man that, by all appearances, had everything. He went to an Ivy League school. He went to UPenn, where he got his undergraduate and master's degree in engineering. He was the valedictorian of his all-boys elite private prep school. His family, well-known about town, very wealthy, owned two golf courses. He's got a family member that serves as a Republican in the Maryland legislature. This is the guy, again, that really had absolutely everything. And yet, this has occurred. Here's some other details that I thought were very interesting. One of his classmates, I heard an interview of this guy from UPenn, basically described this kid as like your typical frat boy, interested in like hanging out and going to parties, basically Mr. Popular. He also had moved to Hawaii, apparently, and was in some sort of like co-living arrangement. Now, here's where it gets really interesting. One of his roommates or neighbors, I'm not exactly sure how the physical plant where he worked looked, but said that he had told him that Mr. Mangione had told this neighbor that he had had back surgery and shared with him pictures related to that procedure, which the witness said looked, quote, heinous, end quote. And other neighbors confirmed that he had complained of back pain for quite some time. We also know he had spent 2 years roughly working as a data engineer or a data analyst. However, Mr. Mangione had basically dropped off the grid. He was not in communication with friends and family, but he did leave a series of somewhat cryptic social media posts, which police and investigators are now reviewing at length. And there were two very interesting social media posts. One was an x-ray of a back, like a backpack that you put on your back, an x-ray of a back with a number of pins in it. And the other one was a repost or a summary of some of what Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber, used to say or is purported to have said, which is, where all other forms of communication have failed, violence is often the only next step. And apparently Mr. Mangione had reposted that with the comment, interesting. So we're going to listen to his exclamations as he goes into the extradition hearing, and then I'm going to hit you with the big question that I myself have been thinking about quite a bit, and I'd like your input on it. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. This is Mr. Mangione just about like an hour and a half ago walking in to a courtroom in Pennsylvania for the extradition hearing. Again, prosecutors seeking to return him to the state of New York where the original crime was committed. Let's take a listen.
And it's completely out of touch, and it's an insult to the intelligence of the American
And yeah, it's hard to hear there, but I think I hear something like an injustice. And then he says an insult to the intelligence of the American people and their lived experiences. So here is my question for all of you. If you are Luigi Mangione's family or best friend, flatmate, whatever it may be, would you have turned him in? What if it was your kid, your best friend? Would you turn them in? What's the moral obligation here? Are people morally responsible even if they suspected it was him but didn't make the call? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Would you turn in your own kid? Would you turn in your best friend if they had physical features that matched a armed and dangerous suspect, as was the case here? Because at the end of the day, despite the fact that this guy from Maryland knew politicians and wealthy people and went to school in Pennsylvania, lived in Hawaii, was in a fraternity, worked for 2 years, clearly had an enormous network of people, had dropped off the grid for 6 years, six months, had dropped off the grid for 6 months and was making these weird posts, had complained of back pain. I mean, how many crumbs do you need to put this one together? If you were his family member, you'd have to kind of have at least some suspicion. Do you turn in your own kid or your best friend? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. And again, if you give us a call and Cardi picks up, make sure you say hello to him. Cardi, of course, I'm going to want to get you to weigh in on this as well. Because this is the joke, you know, like the old saying, you know what I'm saying? Like, oh, a friend is the one that bails you out if you get arrested, but like your best friend is the one sitting next to you in the cell. Like, I've heard that old saying before. Like, and let's say you're one of those people that's like, no, I'm not going to turn in my best friend or my son. Do you actually help him? Like, what if he reaches out and asks for help? Like, holy cow. Text and phone lines are open. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Matt from Middleton on the text line saying, we wonder why young people have issues. We need a sustainable system. And unfettered supply-driven capitalism ain't it. Let's see here as well. Again, Matt from Middleton, it's possible he wanted to be in prison since he will get health care. I remember seeing reports of seniors in Japan breaking the law so they could go to have prison to have food, housing, and health care. That is messed up. Yeah, there's two groups of people in the United States who are guaranteed health care. Only two. One of them are persons that are incarcerated and the other one is veterans. Those are the two groups of people that are entitled, guaranteed to healthcare in this country. John from Indianapolis, what do you think? Do you turn in your best friend or your kid? John, are you there?
Oh, yes. Can you hear me?
Yep. Go ahead, sir. Would you turn in your kid or your best friend?
No, and neither would you. Right?
I don't know. It's such an extraordinary set of circumstances. Like, does it matter what they would have done, John? Like, that's my question. You know, like, let's take this crime in particular. Like, you don't turn them in. But what if they had committed, like, a heinous act of terrorism? Do you turn them in then, or is the answer still no?
In that case, yes, of course. But look, there's a lot of people, and I'm kind of ashamed to say this, but, you know, kind of a part of you says, good. I mean, these insurance companies have, you know, denied, you know, coverage of so many people that have died, you know. And again, that's not the answer, what he did. But there's a little part of everybody that says, good. The other question I have for you is, this CEO gets gunned down in New York. The FBI comes in. The police are in full force. What about the guy that died, you know, that afternoon in New York on 10th Street, you know? I don't see the police coming in force to find those people.
Yeah, John, I couldn't agree with you more, my friend. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. And that's John from Indianapolis. You want to get in on this discussion, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. If it's your kid or your best friend who gunned down the CEO of United Healthcare, do you turn them in? John says no, but he says if it was a terrorist act, he would turn them in. So is it situationally dependent? And John, yesterday on my show, I raised that exact question that you ended with, John, which is where is the moral outrage? Where is the resources when it's our friend down the street who's a victim of a crime or someone that we know that is shot and killed? Not all crimes apparently are actually investigated with the same sort of gusto. What makes the difference, right? Is it just the fact that it was such a brazen killing? Is that the standard? Or does it have more to do with who the person was? I mean, these are all some of the questions that I think this case is bringing up. Let's go to Bob from Fort Edwards. Do you turn in your kid best friend?
Yes, I would. And it starts at an early age when my daughters and my son would do naughty things, like go to Ace Hardware and they'd grab some cute colored little blivet and put it in their pocket and I'd see it. I would make them go to the counter and turn themselves in. And they looked very sheepish and the people at the store were really cool. They didn't browbeat them, but it was all like, you did wrong. Can you put it back? Or do you want to buy it? Where's your money? You know, we'll take your money. But the idea that a killing of an individual, regardless of that individual, okay, it almost it smacks of he deserved killing. What kind of a country? What kind of a world is that? That's instant justice. We all rail against the police immediately shooting somebody, particularly folks of color. But nonetheless, it happens every day. How can we justify letting a killer, okay, never mind why, but a killer go scot-free in that immediate moment, and we say, oh, the police have to be held accountable or the military has to be held accountable.
That's, Robert, I think you've hit on what I consider to be absolutely critical, is that we have to have some level of consistency in terms of what behavior, how different behaviors are charged with crimes and different behaviors are punished. I think one of the things that appalls all Americans is when we feel like certain people get favors and special treatment and frankly can escape accountability, and other people who have done the same exact thing get the long arm of the law and get the book thrown at them. Folks, the question to you all is, if it was your son or daughter or best friend that pulled the trigger on the United Healthcare CEO and you had a suspicion it was them, would you turn them in? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Mac from Middleton on the text line says, I would turn them in, but plead for leniency and campaign against our brutal legal and healthcare systems. Bill from Green Bay says, no, I would not have turned him in. I do not condone or support murder, however. The American middle class, we are all tired of getting financially beat up and taken advantage of. The working class is tired of being told to just let them eat cake. Yeah, there's an element of that. You want to get your 2 cents in, your nickel's worth, a dime, maybe even a quarter, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. An astute texter from the 608 pointing out to me, Maggie, there's one other group that is guaranteed health care in this country in addition to people that are incarcerated and veterans, and that is those members of Congress. They're a bunch of crooks making decisions about all of our health care. I would not have turned them in. That from a texter on the WMDX text line. Thank you for that. We're going to take more of your thoughts and comments when we come back. Would you turn in your best friend if he was the United Healthcare killer? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I am Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.